You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can your girl man save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Happy New Year. That's right. Happy New Year. Now, before you check your calendar, I'm talking about green corn, which is New Year's for the Southeast tribe. So for those of us who are part of the Southeast tribes, green corn, and then a little later toward the fall, little green corn, is a fresh start, a chance to forgive, a chance to socialize and celebrate and give thanks and be grateful for the bounty that we've been given. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and happy Green Corn New Year. So, today, to help us celebrate and put some positive vibes into the air, we have our very own and very beloved Dwayne Brayboy. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, I am Dwayne Brayboy. I am Tuscarora from Robeson County, North Carolina. I am Bear Clan.
How wonderful. We're so glad you're here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's always an honor to be here. I know I always say it, but it really is true.
It is. It absolutely is an honor to have you here with us. We are so very grateful. Well, when you think about a fresh start, what does that mean to you and to your people?
Oh, a fresh start to us. I suppose that at the beginning of Green Corn New Year, which we call Unahatiufest, our ancestors always taught us to start with a clean slate. Mm-hmm. And it makes good sense. As in, just all the release yourself from the weights of the bad things that have been holding you back or holding you down over the past year, that just the way that things attach themselves to you, the heaviness of situations and such. Let go of animosities and especially, you know, petty disputes and arguments. Just let it go and start clean. And it's good for your soul. It's good for your mind.
Well said, as always. Well, you know, it seems to me like if you look at the news headlines, if you see what's happening in the world today, there's a lot of negativity. How can Green Corn New Year help us to deal with some of that?
Well, I believe that green corn, in that context, it would help balance one's mind, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I mean, I'm not speaking hypothetically here. I'm
right.
I've been subject to all of the negativity. Mm-hmm. As well. You know, as far as hearing about it, you know, seeing the news and such, you know, so, you know, I'm speaking from personal experience that I really do need green corn this year.
Yeah.
I just need to work on letting these things go and just washing these things away from my mind that mm-hmm. have been worrying me in the news and such. And
mm-hmm.
so hopefully afterwards I'll be able to re-emerge with a more balanced, good mind,
mm-hmm.
and can be productive, can be helpful again to myself and others. Well,
mm-hmm.
You know how
you
it is when you get when you get sidetracked or you're just preoccupied in your mind with things, you know. I think that this will help, you know, clear the way so that you're able to help yourself more and others. And that's a big part of why we're here, I believe.
Absolutely. I love one of our stomp dance songs that simply says, Creator, clear the way, clear the path. And right now, I think people need a path mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, socially, materially. I mean, we have a lot of clearing that we need our Creator to do right now. And so it's a wonderful thing, too, about green corn. I always enjoy it. I know the northern tribes, they have Sundance now for Sundance season, and that's their New Year, and we bless them and hope they're having a good one. And, of course, all of us have the Gregorian New Year or the calendar New Year, Chinese New Year. There's so many chances to start afresh. But one thing I always loved about the Southeast tribes is that hospitality and generosity are core values. And so you can participate in other tribal green corn as well. You know, it's a real honor to, we're an intertribal family, so we get to participate in more than one green corn, but then we're invited to other people to participate with other people in green corn. And that good feeling, that fellowship, it's just a wonderful season, you know, as opposed to just one day
it
on
is.
The calendar, you know, suddenly at midnight, and now here we are. So it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. And I agree that about hospitality being our Southern tribes' way. This is the way that we've always been. This is the way that people like you and I were raised.
Yeah.
And, you know, I will go further and say that I really do believe that what is known in the national dialogue today of in America, the way they say Southern hospitality, I really do believe it was our people that originated with. Because I know that from the first Surveyor General of North Carolina was a man called John Lawson, and he was commissioned by the Queen of England to come to America and North Carolina, specifically, and give an honest account of the inhabitants here and of the land and flora and fauna and such. And they did this because while there had been English people that had been coming to this area for quite a while, they openly or freely admitted that these were not their best and brightest people. They were... you know, they were randomly, you know, slavers, pirates, you know, just not really good people. And so knowing our traditions, you know, of hospitality and such, you know, that we've always had, you know, I really do believe that it was Southern tribes that taught European immigrants who came here Southern hospitality.
I am so thankful you said that. And I think especially since we have sort of the Thanksgiving myth and we have some of these other ideas in our sort of popular culture, it's wonderful to hear you say that because of the Southern hospitality, generosity, kindness, respect. And those are things that have made an indelible mark on the southeastern region of the United States, haven't they?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and it, as I just said, that, you know, it still permeates to this day. It's, it's prevalent, you know, the term Southern hospitality.
That's right. I mean, there's a whole Southern Living magazine based on that kind of gracious hospitality. There's a, I mean, it's actually what we have as tribal values has actually permeated the entire region, and I'm really happy that you made that point.
Right, and even John Lawson once wrote that along those lines, he said something to the effect of the Tuscarora treat the English better than we have ever treated them. Mm. That they will walk by our doors hungry, and the English will not offer them anything to eat or drink, but an English person could walk by a Tuscarora home, and there's always food cooking, and they would always offer them food. And the English knew that if they were hungry and didn't have food, whatever, they could just go visit their Tuscarora friends, and they would be fed and such, you know, that that's evidence of that, Southern hospitality.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And I see hospitality in so many cultures across the whole world, that hospitality actually has to be taken away from people. People almost have to be, it's counterintuitive. People have to be trained, be selfish, be stingy, watch somebody else suffering and don't care. You know, because in so many cultures, hospitality, generosity, mutual aid, community care are actually part of the bedrock of how we make it. How do we get through it? How do we survive life together?
Right. Exactly. And again, that was something that John Lawson wrote about as Tuscarora when he asked, you know, what, if somebody in the village didn't have food, you know, Tuscarora, everybody else in the village would come together and make sure that person had enough food. And when John Lawson asked one of the chiefs about this, like, what, why do you all go give this person your food? And the response was, you know, we have to do this. If we don't take care of our own, our society will fall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I really want to come back to that. If we don't take care of our own, our society will fall. How is that relevant today, right now?
That is so relevant. Mm-hmm. It is. In so many ways, where to even begin with that? Mm-hmm. But, you know, now my mind is going on all these different paths about what to, how to speak on that, you know?
Mm-hmm, sure.
But, right, we do have to take care of our own, and, you know, there are, well, closer to home, something that we do down in Robeson County is that we have this program, this food box program, where we will get these just a large shipments of produce. Mm-hmm. And when we get these shipments in, you know, anyone's welcome to them. And this means anyone. They don't have to be Tuscarora. They don't have to be Indian. Mm. They can be non-native. Our white and black neighbors come and get boxes of produce sometimes. So we are living our traditions.
Yes.
And we don't do this because we stopped one day and thought, you know, we're Tuscarora, we should do this.
Uh-huh.
No, we've just always done it.
Right.
We're just continuing on, you know, our traditions that, you know, never got broken.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I really love this, because I loved what you said about being inclusive, because I'm even seeing certain other tribes that are saying, okay, the produce giveaway is only for our enrolled members, no matter who lives here, who is intermarried, or who has children with us. You know, it's only for enrolled members. And I love the fact that you don't have the myth of scarcity, that there's more than enough, there's plenty, you know, there's plenty. We're not going to run out. You know, seeds grow. That's
right.
What they do. And so I love that inclusion, even in diversity. That is so beautiful. And one of the amazing things to me about green corn is it gives us a chance to return to our best selves. You know, maybe we have been discouraged, or maybe we have had to deal with the wider world and all of the very terrifying things that are going on right now. But this gives us a chance to come back to who we were created to be, who we were meant to be, how we were meant to carry ourselves, and the way we were designed to walk in the world. What do you think about that?
I would say that's very consistent with our concept of Ekwehewe. This is our Tuscarora word for Indian people, meaning like the genuine people, like mm-hmm. as in the genuine people, you know, of this land and such, you know. Mm-hmm. But the way that we interpret this is our, part of it is also our humanness. Mm-hmm. You know, being Ekwehewe, it's not just simply being Indian by blood, you know, it's about our humanness and acknowledging our human family. And, you know, when we, for example, in our Thanksgiving address that we call Hakanaharatetra, the first thing that we give thanks to are for all the people of the world. Not just Tuscaroras, mm-hmm. not just Indians, but all the people of the world, because we're all one human family. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I believe it was Gandhi who said, if you see yourself in others, who can you harm?
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So if we see and acknowledge all the people of the world as part of our human family, then why should we harm them?
Mm-hmm.
It's very fundamental, I think.
Mm. Wow. It's so powerful and so profound, especially in this day and age, these times that we're living in and living through. And so how can we prepare ourselves so that green corn really does have transformational powers in our lives?
Well, I will say on a fundamental level, like what as far as protocols go, something that I'm a traditional,
mm-hmm.
and I do things traditionally. That's my worldview, my mindset. That's just the way that I interact with people is traditionally. And one of our traditions is that we go into ceremonies fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for this is, first that we are, that our bodies are clean going into ceremony. So there's that aspect of it. But then there are some of us, you know, who believe that, you know, being, you know, that pain of hunger, you know, it is something that will motivate you, and it will change the way you think when you are hungry. You will be thinking a little more broadly, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense, mm-hmm. you know. And so I've always gone into ceremony fasting. Even in the old days, those who might have not been completely fasting, that's when they would drink the black drink, the
yes.
yalpon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And as a quick-acting emetic, that, you know, they whatever was in their stomach was coming up, but they would go into ceremony with an empty stomach. And those who don't favor that sort of process, like me, I will just not eat. I do think that is an important component because it's humbling, you know. And I think that, you know, that's a component of going into ceremony is humility, you know,
uh-huh.
being humble in ceremony. I don't uh-huh. think that, you know, going into ceremony with a fist in the air, we're going to knock this ceremony out attitude is, yeah,
right.
that's you know, that's not the way we do.
That's awesome. That's great.
I think that is something that I would suggest people do before ceremony,
mm-hmm.
if possible.
Well, on that note, I'm going to ask, how can we receive the true blessings of green corn during green corn, while we're in the midst of green corn? What are some heart attitudes or ways that we can truly maximize this experience?
Wow, I think reflection, mm-hmm. prayer, mm-hmm. good-mindedness towards oneself and others, showing love. You know, if you love somebody, I've always said, if you love somebody, never let them question it.
Right. I love you.
You know, yes, I love you too. And you know that.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you mm-hmm. because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so important, I think. You know, these people that, you know, I've known known people in my life that just would never say it, you know, and not to me, but like to their other family members
right.
and such, you know, these mm-hmm. people that don't like to say, you know, I love you or whatever. And I don't understand. I don't
no.
understand that.
If I
love somebody, I'm going to tell them and I'm going to show them and I'm never going to let them question, does he really love me?
Mm-hmm.
They'll never have to wonder.
That's right.
So I believe that sort of that those things and fostering is that all of that fosters, I think, a good sense of community,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and that radiates outward. You know, it begins with us, and then it, you know, our family, then our nation or tribe, and on outwards to our extended relations. It all starts with the individual, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think that those sort of green corn reflections are very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One wonderful thing I was advised when I was a really young shell shaker, just starting out, was that green corn, black drink, all of those times, give us a chance to be around our elders. And our elders
yeah.
are the closest to our ancestors, right? They know they're the closest thing we have to our ancestors. And they said, you know, it's tempting. It's tempting to see what boy is cute over there, or it's tempting. And we do have marriages arranged and things like that, but it's tempting to spend all the time with your friends. You're glad to see them, right? But they said, please make sure that at every green corn you make time to speak with the elders, because every green corn, there will be elders missing. People you
right.
saw this year will not be there next year or 5 years from now, or people that you saw and they were in good shape and good spirits and now maybe they're not able to travel or they're not, you know, well enough to speak or to be there or to participate. And that was a real treasure to me, because those elders, it was a time when lots of elders are present, they're happy, they want to share their knowledge, and it's a great time for all of us. Really young people, sort of young people, young in spirit, young in heart, all of us to take time to learn from the elders. And the second thing they advised us was to pour into the young people. For many of these children and youth, the powwows, the green corn, the ceremony times, that may be the only time some of them are avail, you know, have any access to their culture. You know, grandma and grandpa bring them to green corn and there they are, and the rest of the time they're in public school or they are not around their culture as much. And for those of us, you know, who were raised with our culture, right, the day ones, you know, and folks like yourself who always walked in these good ways and things like that, we may not realize it, that these children, this is their chance to be around traditional. This is their chance to learn, ask questions. And I've always thought of that so wonderfully. Because it's a chance, I think of the elders I got a chance to sit with and learn from, and the younger girls that I got a chance to talk to and to share the things that I had been taught. And I know that certainly our elders and our youth are very important to you, but that is just one thing I encourage everyone, if you have a chance to listen to our elders, to be with them, to pour into our young people, please do that. And so once we have a wonderful time
I agree.
At Green Corn, we have a great time at Green Corn. We have a wonderful time. We're uplifted. We get to forget about some of the headlines and disasters right now and think about positive, loving, wonderful people and just love it. But we got to go home.
Yeah, community is medicine.
It is. Thank you for saying that.
Community is medicine.
It is. But then
yes,
what do we do when we go home? How do we keep Green Corn going?
We internalize it. We internalize it, and, you know, hopefully we can sustain the medicine of green corn for as long as possible. You know, I know that, you know, the way of life and the way of the world is that, you know, we come back from ceremony today, for example, and then tomorrow there is a crushing headline in the news. Now something else is happening. Now we're worried about something new, and you know, it just chips away, gnaws away at your good-mindedness, at your balance, and you know, then you know, and I'm speaking from experience, but you know, after a while, it wears you down. The world, you know, the news, the headlines, such, you know, and sometimes, you know, like bad things that just happen in our own spaces. You know, like in our own community. You know, there are, like you had referenced, you know, there's not a guarantee that all the elders will be here next Green Corn. So, you know, we have those sorts of things to deal with as well. But I think that something I've always tried to do is just sustain myself, my good-mindedness after ceremony for as long as possible. And, you know, one of the things that I do to maintain my good mind, you know, or keep the good mind, as we say, is I become aware of what are the things that are gnawing away at, you know, my peace of mind, my balance, you know, and then avoid them. You know, if it's the headlines and it's nothing important, you know, I just learn to avoid them. And then just, you know, if the world's coming to an end, then okay, sure, I'll pay attention to that one, you know. But, you know, if it's some other political scandal or something like that in the headlines or something, just skip it. Just skip it, because it's just going to erode my good mind and sustained medicine from ceremony. And then, of course, also surround myself with good-minded people like you, you know?
Bless you.
Yeah, just like you. And, you know, you surround, you know, I've always believed it, and my grandfather used to say this to me, that you'll become what you surround yourself with.
Yes.
And one of those grandpa lessons from a young age that over, you know, my life, I always, the way that I regarded a lot of these things that my grandparents and elders and such mom would tell me is I would, if they made some statement like that, like, you know, you'll become what you surround yourself with. The way I've always worked, the way I'm wired, is that I will internalize that, I will file it away in my brain somewhere, and then as time goes on, I will apply that to my life over and over and over to find the truth in what they're saying and or what they've said. And I can't think of a time where they ever steered me wrong. So surrounding myself with good people like you is always good medicine for me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I feel the exact same way, which is why you're here with us today. And when we come back, I'm going to hand you the mic and let you speak from your heart, whatever it is you'd like to share with our friends who are listening. And we will have much more of this beautiful conversation. We'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage, scroll down to Featured Podcast, click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback. Providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds, can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
We are loving every minute of this conversation because we love the guest who is here with us. Would you reintroduce yourself to us, please?
Yes, I am Dwayne Brayboy. My Tuscarora name is Uruna Gwache, and I am Tuscarora from Robeson County, North Carolina.
I'm so thankful that you're here. And I want to give you an opportunity to talk about just anything that's on your heart, anything you want to share with us about your thoughts, your people, your tribe, whatever it is that you would like to share. I'm going to hand you the mic for a few minutes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate this. And something that we Tuscarora are living through right now is a tragedy.
Oh, no.
We are living through a bad experience. I will share a little bit about this. And when I was speaking about things happen, you know, that you just can't ignore, you know,
right.
These groundbreaking things, you know, that, you know, so we deal with them. And yes, it does challenge the dynamics of the situation, challenges one's balance and good mindedness. But keeping a good mind throughout the worst of it, you know, if you can do that, you win.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a situation a couple of weeks ago where there is an area out on the shore in North Carolina that is called Carteret County now, that used to be our territory. This is where the area that our villages of Gadehnu, which is a large principal village of our southern villages, and Jakawin Eti are located. And so that Jakawin Eti means like mini otters. So there's, yeah. And Gadehnu means cypress. And so that area was once our territory, and of course, after the wars in 1711 to 1715 with the settlers and getting sent to the reservation in Bertie County, and so, you know, we got removed from our original territories. And so there was a developer that was developing this piece of land, and then they found some bones and some native artifacts. And so according to NAGPRA, the Native American Graves Repatriation Act, they had to stop working and report it. And so the Department of cultural resources has called this one of the most significant Native American sites in state history.
Wow.
So instead of doing the right thing, the developers got in bed with a politician who are supporting this bill they introduced, HB 385, that would essentially circumvent NAGPRA and allow them to just bulldoze the burial site. So because bones had literally been unearthed and disturbed, we sent a delegation out there to pray for the ancestors. And it was some Tuscaroras, and there was a couple of Okanichi friends. And then, so it was this group went out there to pray for our ancestors. You know, that's what we do. And so we're just praying for their continued peace at their final resting place and such. And this was, I intended to be there. I was not able to make it out to the shore, but I did open that ceremony. My tribal sister, Brandy Locklear Alvarez, called me up and put me on speakerphone, and I did the opening prayer in our language, and then, you know, hung up, and she continued on with the prayers
mm-hmm.
and the ceremony. So, you know, some of the people leave. Some a non-native couple come up to the shore on a kayak, and they start yelling at them. You know, they're not welcome there. They're on private property and such. And
mm-hmm.
so they which they weren't. And, you know, my tribal sister, Brandy, she had let them know, you know, we are not on private property. This is public land here. And, you know, and so they continue yelling and swearing at them. So they were, you know, they were like, we were on our way out anyhow. Let's just go on and go.
Mm-hmm.
So they were leaving and going to their cars, and a truck pulls in and blocks them in so they can't get out. And the man gets out. Long story short, it ends up being that one of our Tuscarora women got body slammed by one of these men, and he was choking her. And her children jumped on the man's back to get him off their mother, and her son's hand got injured in the process. My tribal sister, she went and got her phone to record the event or the what was happening, and when she turned around, there's a man, non-native man, standing there with a gun in her face. And so, you know, a cop shows up, and the cop, you know, Brandy says the guy's got a gun, and, you know, cop essentially just gives the guy the freedom to go put his gun away in his truck and then drive off into the sunset, no questions. One of our women, Jane, who had been attacked, her daughter got punched in the face by this man, a teenage girl, sweet girl, got punched in the face, and she was bleeding from her nose. And so, you know, Jane got choked and body slammed. Her son got his hand hurt. Her daughter got punched in the face by this grown man. She fled to, you know, for safety and to go get medical care. Well, you know, then the police issued a warrant for the wrong people, you know, because she left, she must have been guilty. So this is just, you know, something that we've been dealing with, that, you know, it's now, you know, the FBI is on board, and it's being investigated as a hate crime. And so we've been dealing with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am so sad and sorry to hear that anyone had to go through something like this. I'm just amazed that someone would think it was all right to treat people this way. And, of course, I have to say that we don't have anyone from any of the other sides, and so I have to use the word alleged events, I'm told.
Right.
But I hope, I truly hope, that everyone impacted by what has happened is finding the healing that they need and deserve.
Thank you. Thank you. That is something that we're working on. I was afraid after this, you know, that after this happened, my tribal sister Brandy called me up and later on, because I asked her to, you know, take some photos, you know, not during ceremony, but just, you know, of the group, you know, and the whole group was mostly just women, children, and a couple of elder men. You know, the pictures that she sent to me, there's these mothers with their babies in arms, smiling, laughing, people are hugging each other. Mm-hmm. And then I saw the video footage of the assailants and holding a gun, cussing, calling them trash. It was very, you know, people who say to Indians, you know, just get over it. You know, I always say we can't get over what's never in.
Right. Thank you for saying that, because as long as macroaggressions and microaggressions keep coming, it's still happening. This is still occurring. I am so deeply sorry that anyone had to suffer in any way, simply for trying to pray. And I think that's the most powerful part of it to me, you know. Because I know
they were armed with
nothing.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to say that these women, children, and elder men were armed with nothing but sweet grass and prayer.
Oh, my. Well,
and the photos show that, the videos show that.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, we know the power of prayer. We do know prayer is powerful.
Yes.
And I think, I'm so thankful for the safety. I'm so thankful that they're okay. I mean, I'm sorry that this happened, but I'm also thankful that they're all right.
With a gun in her face, it could have been a lot worse.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, she told me that night that when we spoke on the phone, she said, you know, Duane, I've never seen hate in someone's eyes like that before. And she's like, I felt like I was just a fly to be swatted by this guy, that he could have killed me and it would have meant nothing to him. So, these are things that Indians are still living with in 2024. And all this for nothing more than praying for our ancestors.
Right.
You know, that's what the event was listed as, the flyer for the event, you know, that we're getting, rounding up people, to delegation to go, you know, it was a prayer ceremony event. Because this is what we do, you know, we're just praying.
Wow. Well, what's the path to move forward? Because everyone, if they live long enough, will have something happen to them that is heartbreaking or disappointing or unpleasant, and we hope not as harrowing as this. But what's the path to move forward after something like this?
Well, something that I told my tribal sister, Brandy, that evening when she spoke to me on the phone was, you know, I think she was still in shock from what had happened, because she, you know, had not had a gun put in her face before. Despite that, she used to work with, you know, the Raleigh Police Department. And, and homicide at that, you know. She's worked with police before, and she's never had a gun put in her face. So she was, I think, still in shock from the whole situation. And I stayed on the phone with her for a while, talking to her, because I was thinking to myself that even if she doesn't consciously realize it in this moment, she's about to be going through something.
Yes.
And when, you know, the shock wears off, and, you know, then the, you know, the resentment, the anger, the depression, sadness from it all, you know, it's from a traumatic event like that, you know, was going to be settling in. So I talked to her for a while that night, and I think that it, you know, it ended as well as it could. And then, you know, I made a point to speak to her again the next day. And, you know, so I've just let her know that, you know, when if she needs someone to talk to, I'm here. And if not me, then, you know, do find somebody else. Because, you know, after a traumatic event like that, I think the worst thing someone can do is just kind of just hold it in and mm-hmm. just try and just make it go away. That it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It just festers into something more malignant in the future.
Right, right. Well, what can people of goodwill, allies, friends, what can people who support your nation, Native people, what can they do?
We have had an amazing, magnificent outpouring of support and love shown to us since this event from all people. You know, we've had non-Native people come forward and other Native people come forward and just express their support, their love, but just people from far-reaching distances, up north, out west, locally. You know, our good ally in the House of Representatives, Representative Ed Goodwin, and his assistant, Richard Blackwelder, they have been nothing but supportive. And in fact, Representative Goodwin issued a formal statement that went out on the wire last week about the situation, where he spoke of support for us. He public support for us condemned the events that took place there, not the prayer event, but the attack. And so support like that, to me personally, meant so much, because we're not used to getting that from legislators.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, so having others reach out to us from other tribes and nations up north and out west and from the south, you know, and just contact us. And, you know, there's a Cherokee woman who reached out to Brandy. And Brandy's on social media, so she's been getting a lot of people contacting her there. And, you know, there's, you know, this has been on the news. She was interviewed by ABC News. There was a news segment done on this, her interview. There's more of that in the works. There's been some positive press. You know, there's been one of the things that, you know, we've retained a PR firm at this point. And one of the things we want to do is correct the narrative, because, you know, after the following day, the Tuscarora Nation of North Carolina here, we had issued a statement condemning the attack. And one of the news outlets had posted it on their website, and within 12 hours, they had taken it down. And they had replaced it with a narrative of, you know, the stereotype, bloodthirsty savages on warpath. You know, out for blood and reduced Cedar Point, North Carolina to ashes. And, you know, just, you know, and the thing, I just, when I've seen this, I have contacted our PR person, who is my little brother, Donnie McDowell, and I've shared the pictures with him. I'm like, please send these pictures to these news outlets to let them know that here's some pictures from the prayer event. Here's mothers with their babies in arms. You know, here's grandparents with their grandchildren, you know, hugging them. And here's, you know, tribal family hugging each other, you know, smiling and laughing at this event. Show them these pictures and ask them, where's the bloodthirsty savages on the warpath in these photos. So I think that, you know, if any of our allies are listening and would like to help, they can always contact us through the website for support. Mm-hmm. Our website, www.TuscaroraNationNC.com, and contact our public relations that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, means a lot. And we have had a lot of allies, non-Native allies, come forth and tell us things like, you know, I was raised in that area and mm-hmm. back in the 70s and 80s, and I know that they built this housing development on top of an Indian burial site, and they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
They, multiple people have said that they knew in the 70s and 80s when they built these homes mm-hmm. that they were building them on top of a burial site.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it anyhow.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah. Of course, right. NAGPRA didn't take effect until November of 1990.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow. I. Oh, my. There's so much in what you've said, and so much space for healing and hope and education and awareness. And, of course, we have to say that since we're not witnesses, that and we don't have anyone from the other side, that these alleged events and these alleged attackers and perpetrators, but everyone knows where my heart is, and
right.
I deeply love your nation, and I'm so sorry that anyone from it had to endure this kind of thing. And so this is an opportunity for us, really, as we go into Green Corn, to remember the power of prayer, that our ceremonies are what they wanted to take from us. Our prayers are what they wanted to take from us. My great uncle, Jerry Wolf, who was a beloved man of the Cherokees, told me one time, I can picture him sitting in a lawn chair, actually, telling me this, over at the Methodist Church. And he said, you know, they were scared of us. They were scared of our weapons. They were scared of our bravery. They were scared of us. But really, what they were scared of was our prayers. Because
yeah.
they knew that when tribal people pray, you know, he said, when Indians pray, Creator answers.
Right. Right. So, I believe that.
I do too. And so this time of year, this green corn time, our prayers are medicine for the whole world. Our prayers are healing. They are hope. They are so important right now. We can pray for one another. We can pray for our future and our tribes and our nations and our communities. We can pray for the whole world. We are not powerless. We can pray. And Green Corn Time calls us to that. And now when we hear stories like this one you've just shared with us, and we see the headlines and all the things that are happening, we understand that our prayers are more important than ever. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so glad you were here. I already am looking forward to when you come back because I'm
always so
blessed.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me.
Well, thank you for sharing
yes.
with us, and I'm going to tell you and everyone you love, happy, happy green corn.
Thank you, and to you also, you and your family, and a meaningful, prayerful green corn.
Happy green corn to all of our friends who listen. Even if you don't celebrate, you can still pray. You can still join in the way that you feel best in praying for everyone, everywhere. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and we'll see you next time.
Come and save her. Better believe it. Get on and easy. Pray hard. Then pray hard. And never look back. Once the war forgave you. Yeah, hold on.
Lord and you come and save her. Better believe it, get on and easy, pray her.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.